Episode 3. This is the third part in our four-part mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. If you have missed an episode, don't worry. Here is a quick review. 2 weeks ago in episode 1, we talked about love. Love has always been the foundation of these pro-life reflections for the past 10 years. And of course, that's equivalent to saying that Jesus Christ is the foundation of these pro-life reflections because God is love. But love, remember, isn't a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not based on your passions. It's not about what you like and dislike. Love is a free choice. It's a decision to want what is good for another. And we used a simple but very helpful analogy that I hope still sticks in your heads, the analogy of the hot stove. It is an act of love for a good parent to say to their child, "Don't touch the stove! It's hot! It might burn you." But if the child, through ignorance or stubbornness, should touch the hot stove, then it is also an act of love, even more proper an act of love, for a good parent to kiss the hand and to pour in first aid ointment, and to bandage the hand up. These pro-life reflections are so similar to that. Sometimes we have to say, "It's hot! It'll burn you!" While at the same time healing and pouring in the oil of God's mercy. Last week in episode 2, we talked about Project Rachel and Rachel's Vineyard, two of the many beautiful groups that help women and men with the healing necessary after committing the sin of abortion. Jesus wants to bring healing and peace and sacramental forgiveness to anyone who has been affected by an abortion. Do not be afraid to go to Jesus. He is waiting and wanting to heal you. This week in episode 3, I want to begin by telling you about some things that happened during the summer of 2003. In the summer of 2003, the Episcopal Church in the United States of America approved the ordination of a bishop, a man, who was married to another man. And since that time, many branches of the Episcopal Church in the United States allow men to marry men and women to marry women. This is an abomination and a grave offense to Almighty God. What is the beautiful biblical teaching of Jesus on this very important and unfortunately sometimes controversial moral topic? First, it is important to say again, as I have said many times before, that God is the author of married life. Not those running for president, not the Congress, not the state of Massachusetts, not the state of Minnesota, not the priests, not the bishops, not the Pope, not the church. God is the author of married life. That's why it is called holy matrimony. It was God's idea to create man. It was God's idea to create woman and to bring them together and to make them one flesh. Marriage is beautiful because God created it to be beautiful between only one man and one woman. In that same year that the Episcopal Church approved same-sex marriages, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in Rome, at that time led by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who would later go on to become Pope Benedict XVI, came out with an important document making clear this truth. He said, there are absolutely no grounds for considering homosexual unions to be in any way similar or even remotely analogous to God's plan for marriage and family. Holy matrimony, according to God's plan, is to be between only one man and one woman. Now, let me make a very important distinction that I learned many years ago. In fact, it was back in high school that I learned this when talking about this very important moral topic. And this distinction is still very relevant and helpful today, and I hope it's helpful to you. This is a distinction between a homosexual tendency and homosexual behavior. Let me say for the record that a homosexual tendency is not sinful. It is not sinful to be attracted to members of the same sex. However, even though having a homosexual orientation is not sinful, it is not natural. It is objectively disordered. One day in the mail, I received a letter, a form letter, from a group in the Twin Cities called Rainbow Parents, parents who have a child with homosexual tendencies. And they made a declaration in this letter that said, quote, homosexuality is a variant of the God-given gift of human sexuality, unquote. In other words, they believe a homosexual attraction or tendency is a gift from God. You've heard people say that before? Let me set the record straight. This is an error. This is heresy. This is a lie. A homosexual tendency is not a gift from God. It is a defect of nature. It is not natural. It is sort of, kind of like blindness. A person who loses their sight has a defect. They should be able to see. It's sort of kind of like blindness. Men who are attracted to men and women who are attracted to women, it's like blindness. It's a defect. The person isn't bad or evil or sinful because of a defect. But a homosexual attraction is not the way things should be. You see, a person born blind is beautiful in the eyes of God. They're loved by God. They should be treated with dignity and respect as a child of God. And yet they'll have some particular challenges in life, living with their particular weakness. They might need a seeing eye dog or a walking stick. It's the same thing. People with a homosexual tendency must be treated with proper dignity. Let me say this again for the record, for everyone listening here and at home and around the world, the Catechism of the Catholic Church clearly teaches that people with a homosexual tendency must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. Accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. In other words, with great love. And even though they'll have some particular challenges living chastely with their particular weakness, they must be loved, respected, and embraced. Footnote, before we go on to the topic of homosexual behavior, it's important to give this little footnote. And that is something that you probably did when you were in third grade. This is very helpful to me. Remember when you were in third grade, you'd go, "Boy, am I hungry." And the other person would say, "Well, hi, hungry, I'm Corey." Right? And the person would say, "Boy, am I thirsty." And the person would say, "Well, hi, thirsty, I'm Tiffany." The Spanish can teach us something very beautiful here. They never say, "I'm hungry" or "I'm thirsty." Do they? They say, "Tengo hambre." "Tengo sed." They say, "I have hunger." "I'm not hungry. I have hunger," a Spanish person says. "I have thirst." And so properly, it's not proper to say that Wilhelmina is blind. It's more proper to say she has blindness. Blindness doesn't define who she is. Fred isn't cancer. He has cancer. The cancer doesn't define who he is. And so it is wrong to say that Cornelius is a homosexual. No. He has a disordered attraction to men. A homosexual tendency doesn't define who a person is. End of footnote. Now, we move to the second part of the distinction, and that is homosexual behavior. And it's probably no surprise to you that homosexual behavior is always sinful. It is always and everywhere wrong. You can take a look at this all over the Bible. For example, Romans 1, 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Or 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Those are just a few of the many passages that clearly teach this. And so too does the Catechism of the Catholic Church. When it says homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered, they are contrary to the natural law. Under no circumstances can they be approved. It's not sinful for an alcoholic to have a tendency toward alcohol. Oh, but if he acts on his desire, he runs into problems. It's not sinful for an overeater to have a tendency toward chocolate. But if she acts on that desire and eats 75 brownies a day, she runs into problems. It's not sinful for a married man to be attracted to other women. That attraction is good and natural. But if a married man acts on that attraction, he runs into problems. In the same way, those who have an unnatural attraction to members of the same sex can never act on that attraction. A person with a homosexual tendency is called to chastity. You can see this important distinction then between a tendency and behavior. It's like my mother always told me, God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. God despises homosexual behavior, but he intensely loves every person suffering with a homosexual tendency. So, quick review. Remember, God is the author of holy matrimony. It was his idea, his plan, to bring a man and a woman together, to become one flesh. Number two, a homosexual tendency is not sinful, but it is defective. It is an objective disorder. And three, homosexual behavior is evil. It is always wrong under all circumstances. All Catholics must believe this teaching with divine faith as a teaching revealed to us by God Himself. We learned in today's second reading from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, that all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God. And so I want to read for you the verses of today's second reading that were unfortunately omitted. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. This is what we heard. Preach the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage all through patience and sound doctrine. And we said, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And that's where the reading ended. But I want to read for you the very next verses that we didn't read. The very next verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. And I quote, "For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires will surround themselves with teachers who tickle their ears." In other words, give them what they want to hear, what makes them feel good. They will stop listening to the truth and will wander off to fables. In other words, to fiction, to lies. "As for you, Timothy, be steady and steadfast. Put up with hardship. Perform your work as an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." That's what I've tried to do this morning, as I do every Sunday, to preach the word, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, to convince you, to reprimand, and to encourage all. And so I charge you, in the presence of Christ Jesus, who will come to judge the living and the dead, remain faithful to what you have learned. For you know from whom you learned it and received it. From Jesus Christ Himself. "For when the Son of Man comes, will He find any faith on the earth?"